We do know, and the Department of Homeland Security has confirmed that the suspect was admitted to the United States after presenting a passport displaying an F-43 family immigrant visa in 2011. And so we know that the president's policy calls for an end to chain migration, which is what this individual came to the United States through. And if his policy had been in place, then that attacker would not have been allowed to come in the country.
That attacker would not have been allowed to come into the country were it not for chain migration. Also, I should point out DHS saying yesterday that the attacker, the terrorist, benefited from the diversity visa lottery, became a U.S. citizen after entering the country via that lottery program. Joining us now to discuss, Mark Krikorian. He's a nationally recognized expert on immigration issues, and he serves as the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
So as you've assessed all of the known details about this, this does seem like it's the worst case scenario for failures in the immigration system, no?
Yeah, I mean, but it depends what you mean by failures. In other words, the problem here was not that immigration authorities or the State Department didn't do their job or vetting wasn't good enough or any of that stuff. This is all by the book. The problem is the immigration rules themselves. This really does illustrate some of the most ridiculous elements of our immigration system. This guy only came in because he had an uncle who was a U.S. citizen. So that's what that visa that Ms. Sanders was talking about was, a visa for the child, under 21 child, he was just barely under 21, of a sibling, brother or sister, adult brother or sister, of a U.S. citizen. So it's like a nephew visa. And that original immigrant from Bangladesh, his uncle or aunt, probably his uncle, but we don't know the details, that person only got into the United States because of the visa lottery. So he was picked at random from people in Bangladesh. And then that random person was able, because of chain migration, to bring in lots and lots of relatives. And those two elements, chain migration and the visa lottery, are something that there's now several pieces of legislation to eliminate. And they really, you know, it's long overdue to get rid of those outdated immigration programs.
So I'm looking at the issues relating to who we pick then. So basically you're saying that the fundamental policies which we live with were pretty much followed. I mean, it wasn't like we deviated here, and yet the system ended up allowing someone in who was essentially either on the path of being radicalized or was prone to being radicalized. So how do we go about trying to enhance, once we get the fixes, say that we go after and change the policy to make sure we eliminate some of this, what do we do then to establish some pathway that's reasonable for people to come in? And I, you know, look, I've been to New Zealand. New Zealand has a certain level of standard that they require anyone who wants to migrate in. So do we go towards an immigration system more like, New Zealand, where they require certain elements of essentially you have to have a certain amount of money so that you're not going to be living off the state?
I think the word is merit.
Merit.
Is it a merit-based system?
It's a merit-based system, yeah. So how do we move towards a merit-based system?
Well, I mean, conveniently enough, there's legislation pointing in just that direction. Senator Cotton and Senator Perdue introduced something called the RAISE Act, and there's a counterpart bill in the House of Representatives by Lamar Smith. And what that bill does essentially is it's inspired by the same concerns, that 20 years ago, the Immigration Commission, headed by civil rights icon Barbara Jordan, recommended, which is you get rid of chain migration so that family is just husbands, wives, and little kids, which everybody agrees that should result in special immigration consideration. And we get rid of the lottery, and this is to your point, the people we take who aren't relatives and who aren't refugees should be taken based on their characteristics that are going to help us. In
right.
other words, education, accomplishments, English language, youth, because they're likely to work longer, that kind of thing. And that bill, it works along the lines of Canada's system, which is based on points. That's how you figure it.
Yeah.
You get a certain amount of points for different characteristics. If you clear the threshold, then you're in the pool that they pick from. People like that still... Some of those people still might be bad guys, but the odds are way, way less that you're going to have some highly trained nuclear engineer or medical researcher who's going to end up going, you know, blowing up people in the subway. I mean, I guess it could happen, but it's a whole lot less likely.
Mark Krikorian, thank you very much for your insight on this. I know that, as we keep assessing not only his profile, but how we do our immigration system, we'll keep talking to you about this. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
6:43 now on WMI.